Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, guys, it's Muckin' Fun Day. It's the 19th day of June, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up today. Well, it's currently 80 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 88 degrees today for the climate of the basin, and it has warmed up. There's no two ways about it. Anyways, what we got going today, we got Robert Griswold's coming up from Ready Made Resources to give a presentation pointing out the inevitability of what's coming down the pike here and how to prepare for it. And we're going to get Mr. Griswold up as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000.
While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity trading at a guaranteed 7 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded in the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by June 30th at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net.
Deadline for 7 cent guarantee is June 30th.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, like I said as we were coming in, we have Robert Griswold from Ready Made Resources, one of our sponsors, up today. And I spoke to Robert on the phone, and I can tell you he's firmly rooted in reality, and he He's seen what's coming for us in other places, and he has some interesting perspectives. And Robert, are you there? Robert, star 6 to unmute. Star 6 to unmute. Calling Robert. Robert Griswold. Wow. I wouldn't have thought that. I mean, he's supposed to be here. Well, we'll give it a couple minutes. After the last interview, I did bring an article up in case something went wrong. And so we can go ahead and jump into something. If Robert, if he comes up and he can break in and let me know. I told him 10 after, so we'll give it just another minute here. And he said he would be ready at 10 after. And like I said, he's from Ready Made Resources. They got night vision. And we talked on the phone, and we talked about how a person had better be preparing right now for what is inevitably ahead. And the fact that the fighting will be a 24-hour issue, and the people pouring out of the cities when the resources are cut off to the cities are going to be an issue, and they're going to be something you better be ready to deal with. And I think all of us here know that this is closer than your average people out in the streets, the idiots running about, I guess, living what life they're allowed. They really don't have a clue. But we're not average here. Robert, are you there? Okay, Robert ain't there. It's 10 after, people. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into an article. Maybe when Robert gets here, we can bring him up. U.S. F-18 shoots down Syrian fighter that attacked U.S.-backed rebels, in quotation marks, in Syria. This is from New York Times. It was sent in by Brandon Ward for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. An American fighter jet shot down a Syrian warplane on Sunday after it dropped bombs near local ground forces supported by the United States, the first time the American military has downed a Syrian aircraft since the start of the civil war in 2011, officials said. And, you know, that's a hell of a statement all in itself. This is the first time we shot at a Syrian over in Syria during their civil war. And, you know, we know the lie that we've been fed. We know that our regime, not our regime, the regime that is occupying us is trying to, has been, we overthrew the government in Egypt, overthrew the government in Libya, and is working on overthrowing the government in Syria. Only Assad has been giving them a little problem with that. So, you know, they had to tell, after Libya, you know, we saw ourselves be told that, we're going to put in a no-fly zone in Libya, and it ended up being we sent an air force over there for the Al-Qaeda that had been used as insurgents into their country to topple their government, and that, you know, pounded theirs. It blew up water supply facilities, food facilities, schools, hospitals, went in and crushed that country because the Queen of the Netherlands needed that oil off the coast of Tripoli, and we didn't want that gold dinar becoming a currency to compete with that worthless-ass dollar, that oil-backed dollar that we put out there in the name of the United States, the biggest fraud to ever exist on this planet. So now we're looking at Syria, where, you know, we have we've paid through our directions from our masters in Israel. Lord, tell me she don't see him. We've paid through our masters in through our masters in Israel. We have followed their orders, and we have ordered up we had to call them something different because everybody was on to that Al-Qaeda thing. So it's ISIS, is Daesh. I mean, there's a whole bunch of handles we put out there for them. These terrorists, you know, that we're supposed to be afraid of. You know, the very reason that you have those fingers going up your ass when you go into an airport. And so I hate to use we when we're talking about the United States. We could just talk about this evil regime that is occupying us. Just like they did in Egypt and just like they did in Libya. Well, in Libya, it was just an outright attack. But then again, they found all that oil. And Gaddafi was getting ready to make a move towards the gold dinar. So that had to be done quick. It was an emergency. Hey, we got to stop the presses. Oh, the poor people in Libya, they need us right now to blow them up. Because that's what happened. We went over there and we blasted them into the third world. And then we, you know, and killed their people, killed their leader, and then just left their country a burning mess. But it doesn't matter. The oil was off the coast of Tripoli. It wasn't in the country there itself, though they do have oil facilities there. And I'm sure that's been taken over by the Zionist Jews that sent us there.
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Dion, man. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. I just got out of a little sinus surgery, but I'm all right. hey, have you ever heard of Joanne and Jimmy Moriarty? Have you ever read, looked them up on YouTube?
I have.
They tell you the whole story about Libya when they it was this was happening when they was over there.
Oh, really? Yeah, I haven't heard of them.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance, and the government right now is making their life miserable, man.
Oh, I gotta believe
miserable.
It.
They had a business where they was going to kill, where they was going to clean oil pipeline or oil sludges, man. They was over there the whole time. If you ever get a chance, look them up on YouTube, Jimmy and Joanne Moriarty. They're out of Texas, and man, they are homeless now.
Oh,
I mean, they destroyed it. He tried to get jobs. They destroyed their business. They did everything, man. And now they're speaking out against what's going on over there in Libya, and they're just telling the truth about everything. Yeah, they are making that. They have threatened to kill them and everything. But they said the only reason they probably haven't killed them yet, because they're like the only two who have direct tribes, direct link to the tribal governments over there in Libya who are trying to take back their country. So that's the only reason they haven't done anything to them. They said that's what they figure. But yeah, man, if you ever get a chance, call Jimmy or Joanne Moriarty. They're going through hell, man. They really are. I feel so bad for them just for telling the truth about this damn evil government that's going over there and doing it to Libya, man.
Yeah. You know what kills me? I'll tell you what kills me. Can you imagine if somebody grabbed Trump or Obama, drug them through the streets, and stuck a sword up their ass? Can you even imagine the apathy that these people have nowadays? Can you even imagine? I mean, what if somebody went over to Israel and grabbed Bibi, drug him through the streets, stuck a sword up his ass? I mean, it's barbaric.
It would be completely.
You know what, Henry?
Go ahead.
You know what really made me mad? When they came out and told me all the things that Gaddafi had done for that country. This is what really amazed me. He said all the oil that they sold, 51% of it went back to the people.
Yeah.
49% went to run the government. This is one of the ideas. And whenever you got, they would tell you this. They said whenever you got married, the government gave you $50,000 to start off your life. If you wanted to buy a car, all this came from the oil money now, not out of anybody else's pocket or nothing like that, just straight oil money, what they were selling. If you wanted to buy a car, they sold half of the, they paid half of the car for you. If you, every time you had a child, you got $5,000 for every time you had a child. I'm talking those people in Libya, they said they were living so well. But like you said, the main reason was that African, and they'll tell you that the African gold the North was the main thing that put them under. That's the main thing made them attack. Cause they'll tell you about they talk about the Jews like hell.
I hear you, brother. And you know, the thing is, you know, we've seen all of this unfold, right there in Libya. And you know, when you look at a place like that and everything you just, mentioned there, this is how much resource is being taken from our country. How much is being taken from our country and there's nothing comes to us. I mean, everything, the welfare is out there. I mean, it was a safety net that you paid for out of your taxes when you were working. So that actually came out of your sweat, not your resources. But the way we're treated is beyond reproach in their opinion. While when they look at other leaders, you know, like Gaddafi, get like you talked about being drugged through the streets and having a sword crammed up his ass and beaten to death. Basically, and you said, well, if it was the shoe was on the other foot over here, it would be such an outrage. I mean, unspeakable. It would be a crime against humanity. You'd hear every condemnation that could possibly come out of a person's mouth. But here again, you got to talk. You know, you went over to somebody else's country. Why were you there? At the bidding of Israel. That's why you were there. At the bidding of the Netherlands, of the Queen of the Netherlands, because they wanted their resources, and at the bidding of the international banksters, because, well, they didn't want that gold dinar out there. I think that we have Robert on the phone finally. Robert, are you
there? That's correct, yes.
There you are.
Yes, I'm here.
Well, better late than never, brother. I'll tell you what, we've already announced that you're going to be giving a presentation. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to you. At the bottom of the hour, I'll probably break in for our bottom of the hour break. And then on the other side, I'll turn it back over to you after we go through the break. And I just say that, you know, we have people on the line, and I put up on the site that you were going to be here, so they may have questions. So after you cover a subject matter, you might want to pause or maybe even ask if anybody has a question. That being said,
all right, is anybody else going to be online with me? Just explain quickly the presentation so I know how to.
Well, what you have is the call-in line you're on. There's several of the people on it right now. I mean, with the people that are listening, there's a lot of people that listen on the call-in line. A lot of people like Dion was just up and Flea was just up talking with me. And generally, when we're going along, I'll try to leave a pause if I ain't running my mouth too much, and people are just butt in. But if you're putting a presentation, you know, like if you, like I said, if you want to, after you cover a subject matter, you want to say, is there any questions? That would probably be the coolest way to go about it. But they may just butt in because I have no control over them. This is the trenches.
That's good.
All righty then.
Free people.
You betcha. And that being said, I'm going to turn this over to Robert. Here's Robert Griswold from Ready Made Resources. Robert, you have the floor.
It's a pleasure to be here. I have a little bit of feedback. I don't know if it can be dealt with, but it's feeding back in my ear. Anyhow, you know, we live in very perilous times. We started Ready Made Resources 20-some years ago because we just look at the cycles of history. We realize that for whatever reasons, whatever forces that are pushing this ball down the wrong path, the ball is being pushed down the wrong path. We have Alinskyites out there doing their thing, and just so many people buying for an agenda that is anti-freedom, anti-liberty, and America and the world are being coerced into it. You know, the whole war cycle, the whole planning for war, it's designed, it has a purpose, people make money on it, it's a marketable issue, war is. And unfortunately, I think that we are going to face the brunt of it. I was, right now I'm reading a book called The Fourth Turning. It's a little bit of an older book, but it has a quote in it. Basically, there are seasons to history, and that we are entering the winter cycle right now. In fact, I think I have the quote here. It says, this is from the book, The Fourth Turning. History is seasonal, and winter is coming. The very survival of the nation will feel at stake. Sometime before the year 2025, America will pass through a great gate in history, one commensurate with the American Revolution and the Civil War, and twin emergencies of the Great Depression and World War II. The risk of catastrophe will be high. The nation could erupt into insurrection, civil violence, crack up geographically, or succumb to authoritarian rule. So I think what he's basically saying is that we're facing a moment where we have a 1913 issue, you know, the World War, and a 1860 issue, which is a civil war, and thrown in food will be a Great Depression. And with that in mind, go ahead. I think facing these different issues. If you can hear me, I have a really very very bad feedback into this connection.
Wow, are you on a cell phone or something?
No, I'm on a landline.
Really?
Yeah, it's very very annoying, very difficult to talk.
Let me ask the other people on the call-in line. Are you having that problem, Flea?
Yeah, I think you just need to mute everybody, Henry.
Okay, I think we're going to do that. And when you get down to where you want to ask some questions, we'll unmute everybody, and we'll see if that clears it up.
Yeah, I apologize. It's just very difficult to hear myself talk back to myself.
Wow. Okay, Laura, you going to get that? Yes. Okay, try that.
Well, anyhow.
Is it still doing it?
It's much better, but still okay. There. But anyhow, again, I think wise and prudent people can look at history, and it's still there. And it's very, very bad. I don't know if I should
really
call back.
You sound great. I'll tell you that much. On my end,
okay,
you do.
Everything I say is being echoed back right into my ear.
Wow. You want to hang up and call back in real quick and see if that does it? I mean, we weren't having this problem,
or
I would have dealt with it.
I'm going to go ahead and do that because it'd be very difficult to do this.
Okay. Go ahead and hang it up and call it back in.
Will do.
All right.
Henry?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Katie. I actually called Robert at his. I got the number off the website and said, hey, you're supposed to be up doing an interview with Henry Schiavo. He goes, oh, I was waiting for his phone call.
Oh, I told him he had to call in. I mean, he must have got confused.
Yeah, he got right on it, though.
Yeah. Is
Robert, I hope we can hear him.
Yeah. Is Robert back? Not yet. We've got to wait for the ding. Oh, the best laid plans of mice and men. If this doesn't work, maybe we'll try it. Is that Robert? Unmute, star six. Is that Robert? Man, I hear it.
It's Robert here, yes.
I still hear a heck of a noise, Laura. Is that someone unmuted? All right, how's that sound, Robert? I mean, try it.
Well, it's better, but I still hear myself very faintly in the background, but it's much better than it was last time.
Do you want to go forward, or do you have Skype?
We'll go forward with this unless it gets worse, and we can do something different, but I could deal with this. The last time it was just as loud as me talking right back at me.
Okay, then back to you, Robert.
Okay. Well, anyhow, as I was saying, I think that we see history in a certain path right now, and this is the way we formed ready-made resources because, wise people are going to see these things coming, and they're going to realize they need to make plans for it. Some people will use fear, and they'll paralyze themselves, and they'll just go down, and they'll a path and that just makes them immobile. They can't do anything, and they'll be victims of the circumstances that are forced upon them. I think wise and prudent people see these cycles to history and realize that they have to do something for their own self-preservation. And those are the ones that I really want to appeal to because as society crumbles around us and as we see the society crumbling, they're going to have to be people who have the intellect and physical capabilities to come in and to rebuild when society is basically hits the reset button. You know, we live in a country today, and if we put it in perspective, that we have the highest opiate use in the world. We have an extreme obesity rate. America's religion today, even if it's in a formal religious institution, is basically a religion of entertainment. Even when we go to a professional church, it's basically you're being entertained there. And so we live in a world and a nation that is not facing reality. And this is my view of it. But for somebody who's looking at the issues, we see these things escalating. This thing. We now have political assassinations going on in our country. We have political violence against just people who express a political view. We have politicians. They've always been corrupt, but we have this level of corruption where we see politicians not even being punished when they're open corruption, murder of Seth Rich. Nothing's going to be done about it, and yet everybody knows the man was murdered, and we basically know how and why he was murdered. We see an economy that is just absolutely a joke as far as the reality of any financial soundness left in it. It is catastrophically in debt. And again, we see those other issues, the moral issues of our country, of just, you know, everything, the breaking apart of marriage, family, all of it. And so with that, I think it's prudent for people to look and say, when this thing comes to an end, what's going to happen to me? How am I going to be provided for? What's going to provide for my family? And where are the supplies that I need going to come from? And I think really the only thing that answers that question effectively is to pre-plan for those eventualities and to stockpile, learn, and do what we need to do now while we still can before the inevitability of what we're facing hits. And I don't know if anybody has a comment, but
Well, I think that we could all agree I see it. This is coming down. It cannot not happen. Mathematically, the economy has to cave. Fraud is infinite, and as long as people will accept it, when they cease to accept it, it's going to come crumbling down. There's no wealth behind the fiat dollars out there. Myself, my tools are the most important thing I own, and my guns and my equipment.
And the knowledge we can possess now. We live on a working homestead, and over the last 20 years on this homestead, we've become very efficient at amateur radio, organic gardening. I do run a ceramic shop off my property where I do 18th century reproduction ceramics. We've learned a lot of carpentry, electrical skills. So it's not just the tools. You need the knowledge of how to use all these tools. And yet, while these things are just so evident of what you just mentioned, of what is coming, America sits glued to entertainment.
Yep.
Whether it's TV, whatever form of entertainment we have, some people, it's obviously we have just absolute an explosion of opiate epidemic in this country. We have people just watching these, programs that are just absolutely mindless stupidity. You know, I think the guy who made the movie Idiocracy made the comment that he didn't expect his movie to go from a comedy to a documentary so quickly.
But it has.
I don't know if you've seen the movie Idiocracy, but it's...
I have seen the movie, and you're absolutely correct.
To a documentary.
Exactly. And like the opium, the epidemic you're talking about, the fact that the people have gone into cyber world and, sit there and can't stay off the phone for 2 minutes, this has all been orchestrated. That's why the certainty of the end game is upon us.
And yet, I've traveled extensively around the world, and I've been to a lot of countries where you had extreme poverty, and what people will do when they get hungry or in need, and it is not a pretty thing. There's a book out there called The Savage Continent, and what it is, it's basically a history of World War II in Naples, in Italy and Germany, post-war from about 45 to 48. And because the infrastructure of those two countries had been bombed into non-existent, people had to find any way they could to feed themselves. Now, you're looking at two countries that are highly evolved. Italy and Germany produced the best scientists, the best literature, the highest forms of art. So these were not third worlders. These were the epic of human evolution. And yet after the war, here's a quote from the book. In the whole list of sordid human vices, none were overlooked in Naples during those first few months after the liberation. What they were witnessing, in fact, was the complete moral collapse of a people. They had no pride. They didn't have any dignity. The animal struggle for existence governed everything. Food. That was the only thing that mattered. Food for children, food for yourself, food at the any cost of abasement or depravity. And when you read really what went on there, basically parents were sending their children out in the street, 9-10-year-olds, to prostitute themselves to bring home a little bit of food. We don't realize the desperation that people have when they get hungry or in need. We haven't seen it in this country in over 150 years. We saw some of it during the Great Depression when we had, people don't realize it, 5 to 7 million people starved to death. But we haven't seen it in our lifetimes, this kind of devastation that is coming. And yet the majority of Americans just sit there glued to their entertainment.
Well,
ignorant.
Robert, you can see it in real life right now, actually, down in Venezuela.
You can.
Yeah. And that their infrastructure is still in place. I mean, this is how powerful these internationals have become, to where they could take a country there, eat in 1 week, you ain't eating the next week.
And that's the way I think it'll happen in America. I mean, just like the 2008 financial crisis was upon us before anybody knew it. And unless they had really just, acquiesced to the bankers and gave them all those multi-billions and billions of dollars, they would have collapsed the economy, and then people would have been in the streets doing the exact same thing they were doing in Italy after the war, and same thing in Venezuela, and really what people in third world countries face on a daily basis around the globe today, where they have to sell the basic only asset they have, and that's themselves, to be used or abused any way people see fit. That might not be polite talk, but it is reality talk. And in America, we're quickly heading to it. So we're facing this. What can people do? That's the thing. What can people do to help mitigate it? Because if it's going to happen to the nation, if you're going to have a financial collapse in this nation where the dollars cease to be able to buy all the luxuries and food and stuff that we enjoy, what do we do as individuals to help mitigate it for our family? That's the question we should be asking ourselves. If we're not, we're doing ourselves and our families a great injustice. So we break it down to 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months type of breakdown. I mean, 3 days, you're going to have food and water. There are several ways you can accomplish that, but if the grocery stores are empty, how are you going to accomplish it?
Robert?
Yes.
This is Katie. I have a question. It's appreciate you coming on the broadcast and bringing this stuff to light. My question is, are you planning on staying in the United States?
I tell you, I've traveled to over 40 countries. I've been everywhere in the Middle East. I've been throughout North Africa. I've been through Asia. Right now, at this point, I would entertain going somewhere else if people could sell me somewhere else better. the problem is this, and I say this cautiously and guardedly because I'm in no way the person I'm describing. I'm a European man, and everywhere else in the world I've gone that's not European, racism is practiced. It's unfortunate, but it is. And so I think if you go to a country where you don't fit in racially, you're going to be stigmatized. In the United States, we're not allowed to practice it, but in large portions of the world, it is practiced. So I would have to look and evaluate, could I fit in? Not just will there be less government to manage me, but is there a place I can go where I could, socially fit in as well? And I'm not sure that place exists. If somebody could enlighten me, yes, but I've been to countries that have far less government interference, but I was not the normal guy. When you look around, I'm a 6'3" white guy, and I didn't fit in. And you knew it pretty quickly.
Robert?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that when this happens to the United States, it's going to be worldwide, and there is going to be no place to get away from it. You're not going to get away from it because this is a push for a one world order.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the last thing you want to be is the guy that doesn't look like everybody else because, people are family, and they're going to stick with people that look like themselves to a greater degree than someone who doesn't look like you. We might argue that the morals of that issue, but that is the reality of the issue of how it works worldwide once you get outside the United States. So I don't have any plans for that right now. I would have plans to, network. I'm a strong believer in networking now. Build these networks of friends and, systems where we can work with other people to help mitigate the shock of what is coming. But at this moment, I do not have any plans to do it. I would recommend network.
I would say that, the position of our people here is that we wouldn't go if we could because this is our country and we aim to set things right. It's going to be terrible. Like you said, we're going to have to start from scratch.
Yeah, and so... again, this is why I tell people get rid of that thing in your house or not in the house anymore because I'm dating myself, but the thing that you hold in your hand that you absolutely are mesmerized to that's draining your ability of cognizant thinking, that little social media device, whatever it is, television, get rid of that thing and start to learn the skills that help people survive all over again, because most of those skills have been lost. They don't exist anymore.
My opinion is that those that aren't awake are probably not going to get awake, and they can just basically fall by the wayside. And I want to say I am a very compassionate person. I love people. I personally have talked to many people. They have no clue. They really don't want to be clued in. So, you know, the less of them, the better for us, because we want our country. We're going to fight for our country, and we're going to, you know, anyway.
Yeah, and I agree with that to a certain extent. There are people, I mean, there are millennials out there today that do not know how to boil water. And you think I'm kidding, but I'm not. They do not know how to boil a cup of water to make some coffee. That's how bad it has become. They have no idea of the mechanisms of where food comes from. They have no idea how they could produce and grow their own food. They have no idea. I mean, they can't even figure out what sex they are, I guess. But so you get to that point, they just don't know anything. Those people are going to quickly die off. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And the people that stop and get off that treadmill right now, or have gotten off of it, and are starting to re-engage their minds and read and learn earth skills, and whatever it is, it could be electrical skills, contractor skills, it could be gardening skills. I'm a huge proponent of ham radio. I think everybody listening to this program should have the ability and understanding to use ham radio, because it is the only effective means that we will have to communicate post-collapse. Ham radio can be jammed, but it's difficult to do it on a large scale. I can turn the cell phones off. I can turn the computer off. I can turn the landlines off. Ham radio is very, very difficult to disengage. In fact, this weekend, my son and I were, there's a thing called the Chiricahua bike race here. It's a 112-mile bike race through the mountains of eastern Tennessee. And we do what's called sagging for it. We drive the circuit in our truck using ham radio to communicate to a base station. And if somebody gets in trouble, we call it in or give them water, first aid, whatever we need to do. Well, we were driving up the mountain about 4,000 feet, and we came across this one place. This man was laying on his back. He had fallen off a horse and landed on his head. Bad concussion. This was not good. None of the cell phones worked. It just you're past the thing that where the cell phones work. So there were a couple of people around him, but they couldn't do anything for him. They were just watching him sit there suffer, and probably.
Let me ask you something, Robert. Now at Ready Made Resources, I haven't actually gone on to the website, but do you sell ham radios there? One that you actually use and can recommend?
Yes, yes, we do. We sell a wide range of handheld ham radios and a few base station type ham radios. It is a huge field of what you can get into, but for what most people would need, they would need the basic license, and I want to address this. I'm functionally against most licensing, but in order to use a ham radio today, you're going to have a license. If you're going to get caught, the government's going to come down and rain on you if you don't have the license. So get the license. Also, if you get the license, you can join a ham radio club, and the knowledge base of these ham radio clubs is immense. You have sometimes 100 years of, you know, people, collective information on using radio. So get your license. And go to one of these ham radio clubs and start learning how to use this, because that was the only thing. I had a ham radio in my truck. That's what we're using to follow the race with. I called down to our base station and told them what was going on. We had an ambulance up there in about a half an hour, and eventually they had to life-star the man out of there. The woman up there with him, she had no way to contact her family, because cell phones didn't work. So we relayed her contact information back down to the base station, and they called their family down there, and they could come and get her. When this thing happens, you're going to need to be able to talk to your friends. You're going to need to find out where your family is at. You're going to need to be able to coordinate efforts for relief for your group of people. And your cell phones are not going to work. You're going to look into that little device you hold in your hand, and all you get to see is the reflection back in that black screen, because it's not going to work. Ham radio is the effective way that you can mitigate so much of what people are going to face. You will be able to talk to those that you need to talk to.
Henry, do you have a ham radio?
Yeah, my call sign is Kilo Mike 4 India Echo Quebec, KM4IEQ. Yes. Yeah, I have a base station unit on my property. I have one in my truck. I carry a comm bag in my truck that I can, if I ever had to have found myself broken down, or you're in the vertical parking lot and you had to hump it home, I have ham radios that I can carry with me on my way home. My wife or family here would know the frequencies I would be contacting them on, so that I could give them intel as far as my progress of getting home. Yes, ma'am, we have this plan well thought through.
Okay.
because it is a lot of people prep out there. A lot of people buy food. A lot of people buy water filters. But there's two things people do not deal with, because there's two reasons why. Ham radio, people don't want to deal with it because they fear the technological learning curve. But it's not that hard. It's not hard to get your ham radio license. I would strongly encourage it. With the ham radio license, and my ham radio, you know, I can talk, 100 miles from my house, depending on the radios and certain things, but say up to 100 miles. With the radios that you buy at a department store, you're going to get, even though the box might say 36 miles, you're going to lucky to get a mile out of it. It's just the way it is. Ham radio uses what's called a repeater, and it's basically my antenna has to see the other antenna to communicate effectively. It won't communicate if it doesn't. And even if I'm just using radio normally, if I start walking away from you, I'll walk off the curvature of the earth at 17 miles, meaning my antenna can no longer see your antenna because I've walked over the curvature of the earth. So those boxes that say 36 miles ain't happening. But with a repeater, it's basically a retransmitter on top of a building or a tower or something like that. That thing could be 200 or 300 feet in the air. And now my antenna sees it, it takes in my signal, and retransmits it out, you know, 50 watts, 100 watts, 500 watts, whatever what it's rated for. And so therefore, I could effectively communicate out 100 miles. Now, I would say on most days, the people that you care most about, you know, you could be able to reach them within 100 miles and coordinate relief. If you have relatives in, you know, across the country, it's really not going to do you much good to be able to talk to them other than the fact to know they're okay. But if I can talk to people within 20, 30, 40 miles of me, we can coordinate together and work together to survive the hardship that you just described that's coming.
I'll tell you Katie asked if I had a radio. I do have a ham radio stashed. I have a mobile unit. I'm not really here where I could set up right for a ham radio, but I will say that I met this old guy. He lives out at the lake, or he did. I mean, it's been some years, but he bought some property up on the hill there by the side of the lake. And he was in naval communications. When they went over to the satellites, just before they had all the technology with the shortwave, I mean, he was like an expert at it. And he had built these antennas. I mean, they were like, some of them were like 100 yards long. And it was wire, you know, like a straight wire going from one post to another post in a direction. And I guess it was like a wavelength, maybe several wavelengths. But he had it all calculated out. And he was talking to Australia with 3 watts.
Yeah, I have what's called a 270-foot long offset dipole antenna that I have on a high-frequency radio I have, and I can speak. I've spoken to Australia. I know some people down in the Falkland Islands I speak with. And that's good. That's a lot of fun. And that type of radio is great for gathering intel from around the world, so you hear a non-American viewpoint on the news, which is, it can be quite different than what you hear on, you know, the Giggling Blonde Network, Fox and Friends. So you'll gain intel that will be completely different, and that can be good. But as far as effectively, you know, you get your UHF and VHF, the standard radio most people use to communicate locally, and you're going to probably accomplish 90% of your communication needs. And so that's when you get your licensing in ham radio, there's three different categories. There's technician. That allows you to use the UHF, VHF frequencies, and that's what I would strongly recommend that people get. Then you go to a general license, and that allows you to use the HF rigs you were talking about with those long antennas where you can talk to people around the world. And then they have an amateur extra that allows you to gives you a little more frequency range to use.
One at a time. I heard Misty, and I think I heard Mark. But I think I heard Mark first. Go ahead, or the gentleman was first.
Darnley. What about us if we don't do licenses?
Well, okay, it is an issue that you're gonna have to deal with. It's like this. I'm gonna tell you this. Let's just say you've never touched a gun in your life. Okay, you live in a state where you can't shoot a gun, and you go out and decide to buy a gun. but you know you can't shoot it because you don't have the license or whatever to shoot it, that gun is going to probably be very, very ineffective for you when you need it. It's a moral choice you're going to have to make. Yes, you can buy a radio, you can buy a ham radio right now, and you can throw it in a box and say, when the crap hits the fan, I'm going to use it then. In reality, you're never going to figure it out. The radios today are fairly complicated little devices, and for you to learn how to effectively use that radio, you're going to have to put a pretty good investment of time in. And again, here is one of the great reasons why I recommend getting licensing, even though I stand with you. I don't like the fact that the government has the right to tell me I can use it. I have to buy a right back. But when I'm licensed, I can then join a ham radio club. And in that ham radio club, I cannot tell you the information that I've garnered and gathered on the use of ham radio equipment that I did not.
Well, I ain't got no use for you then.
Why? Why?
Because he's not going to tell me information if I don't have a license. He's just part of the cabal.
No, he's talking about the ham radio organizations. I mean, you can get books on ham radio and learn how to run it.
That's what I do.
You can get a book and learn it. I'm just saying that when you join a club and you have people there that have collective 100 years experience of using ham radio, then you're going to learn the techniques and the equipment much faster than if you have to sit there and learn it by yourself. It's a moral choice of anybody whether they get a license or not. I'm not going to make a comment on that. If you don't want to get a license, you don't get a license. If you do want to get a license, get a license. I'm just saying if you do get the license, there is going to be an avenue open to you that you're going to be able to learn the equipment much better. But I will say this, and I would say it pretty much categorically. If you buy a ham radio and just stick it in a box and figure you're going to use it after the crap hits the fan, it's not going to work.
I have a radio, but I'll tell you, right here where I'm living, the old fellow that he died about 10 years back, but he had a 70-foot tower, and he ran ham radio, and he was the kind of fella, as far as networking, I understand what you're saying, but you will find these old fellas out there. They'll sit down and tell you exactly how to do it and enjoy doing it.
Absolutely. If you can find those people, and a lot of them belong to those ham radio clubs, and when you find those guys, hold on to them. They're worth their weight in gold. Because, again, if I can find somebody who can reduce my investment of time down from days to sometimes hours, that guy is worth it.
You betcha. And I think I heard Misty trying to get in. Go ahead, Misty.
Yes, Henry. I don't know. Maybe it's a landline because I called in because I want to talk to this gentleman. But I'm getting feedback on my landline. I'm hearing him, only him, with the feedback. So.
Well, you know, that's
I'm on the computer.
That's how the lines work sometimes, especially when for us.
Now, I'm getting feedback. I'm getting her feedback now also. So, and I'm on a landline.
You had a question, Misty?
It's a landline somehow. But anyway, what I did pull up your website, sir. I didn't go into it with too much detail, but I do have a ham radio. I just picked up probably a year back. My father, his call numbers were K4KSE, and he was big time into ham. And, of course, my stepmother had sold pretty much everything, the antenna, except his best ham radio. Now, on your site, I mean, I guess my question, and mine is in a box, and now I'm going to get on it, but do you have to have the 70-foot tower like my father did?
No. Antennas. Antenna technology is as wide as any technology you would want to go with. Obviously, the little radio you buy in a box that you get at, a little ham radio like a Bofang, you can get them online for $25. It serves UHF, VHF. It comes with a 6-inch antenna. That antenna will work under certain conditions very effectively. Now, the nice thing that ham radio allows you to do versus the GRMS or MERS radios, the kind you get at the department store, those antennas are fixed. You can't unscrew them. With a ham radio, you can unscrew the antenna from the radio itself. And then I can screw in a huge antenna to it. If you know, remember the old TV antennas we all had? I don't know how old you are, lady, ma'am, but when I used to remember those big Yagi antennas my dad would adjust outside. That's called a Yagi antenna. That's basically the same wavelength antenna that you're going to use for ham radio. And I could screw that antenna into my little Bofang radio. What that does is it automatically increases the gain and transmission of that radio exponentially. So you can, by just antenna technology and what you do with it, increase the power and capabilities of your radio dramatically without buying a more powerful radio, just by using a better antenna. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, most of these little ham radios come with a 6 to 8 inch antenna. They make a 17 inch antenna as an aftermarket antenna that you can screw on. That doubles the gain of one of these little handhelds. Mm-hmm. Doubles the gain, means, you know, my radio will have a better chance to be able to talk to your radio or listen to your radio. So, yeah, again, this is where a ham radio club really comes in, is right. The fact that you can go to that ham radio club, bring your little Bofang radio that you pay $25 for and say, how do you make this thing better? How do you make it work? And instead of, again, that investment of time of having to read and digest lots of material, which you might not understand because it involves electronics and wave propagation, all this stuff that you might not even want to know about, somebody's going to say, oh, yeah, just take this and put this on here and do that, and you'll get, you know, and then all of a sudden you do it, and it's like, wow, my radio works so much better.
And that's going to adapt like I say, my father, just that's all he did. He was a brown shoe. But anyway, he was I got the best of the best. It's not handheld, but, you know, it's the base station.
Right,
and I guess
right.
that's the biggest thing I'm looking at is the antenna thing. As far as, and you're saying there is a way to adapt your base station without having your 70-foot antenna or whatever it may be?
Yeah. Now, okay. Let me qualify that statement. That's for UHF, VHF. When you get down to the what they call HF, high frequency range, that's the range that people use when they want to communicate around the world. Because, and once you get above, I'm going to be a little technical here, 30 megahertz or so, you lose the ability to propagate radio waves off the ionosphere. See, when you're down those low frequencies, when I transmit, it hits the ionosphere 2,500 miles up, bounces down, hits the Earth, bounces up, bounces down. That's why it makes it go around the world. Mm-hmm. Once you get into higher frequencies, that wave propagation by bouncing off the ionosphere doesn't happen. The waves just go out into space, so they don't bounce back. When you use high frequency to communicate, you're going to need those longer antennas.
Okay. I believe that's what he had.
Yeah. You will need a longer antenna to make that.
Great. I mean, we weren't allowed to touch it by all means, but
very expensive.
But I know for a fact he used to talk overseas all the time. So.
Yeah, well, if he's talking overseas, he is using high frequency, and you're going to have to have a long antenna. Like I said, the antenna for my high frequency radio, it's 270 feet long. So, you're not going to do that. But as I mentioned earlier, when you network with people, you know, let's just say when the crap hits the fan and we have this economic collapse and the reset button's pushed, you're not going to be able to network with people 100 miles away. You're going to be networking with people probably within a 20-mile radius or so.
Okay.
That's
and
where.
Are you saying that? I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get a bit of information here. So, I mean, say right now, if I cannot go on and have a 70-foot or whatever, like you're saying, the tower, I couldn't even tell you how tall my dad's was.
Mm-hmm.
But are you saying that makes my ham radio obsolete? Or
No. I'm not obsolete.
And just be able to hear locally?
It makes it a great receiver for hearing what's going on around the world. And,
okay.
And having traveled around the world a lot, I can tell you that you will hear news coming from another country, maybe that's not as favorable to America, you know, where they have a different political, geopolitical viewpoint, and you hear news coming out of that country that's completely different than what you hear on Fox and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's great for intel gathering, and that's one of the things that radio provides, is if you learn to listen, is the amount of intel that you can gather off the radio, what's really going on. Because when you start hearing people really talk about what's going on immediately around them, I saw this, versus what you hear on the national news networks, they're two different versions of news. One's propaganda, one's reality. And so just listening to what you hear on that radio you're going to hear a lot of things that will benefit you just because you'll be getting the straight truth from somebody who's there witnessing it versus what you hear regurgitated that they're told on the news networks to tell you.
Correct. Thank you. Thank you so much, and I appreciate it. And once again, I'm going to go on your site, and I'm going to see if I can get hooked up with an antenna for this bad boy.
Yeah, I'd be glad to help you out with that. You don't feel like you have to buy something, call me afterwards, and I'll help you out. I'd love to help you out, get you going with that. I'd love to help you out do it because, again, this networking thing, I'm a firm believer, is your ability to prepare increases, my ability to survive increases, because when good people network together, good people are going to survive.
Why are you going to help her? She ain't got a license.
Charlie. Well,
look, Charlie, look. I'm listening.
She doesn't need a license to listen.
Charlie, please. I'm listening. My father had a license. I understand where we are not required. And
you ain't got a license.
A Bill of Rights tells us we are not to be licensed. What he is doing is offering valid information for people. So, please don't go there. Please don't.
You don't need a license. Who the hell cares about a license?
Let me just say this.
Okay. Whoa.
Here we go. Thank you.
Whoa. Okay.
She doesn't need a license to listen.
No.
You can turn that radio on and listen. And my thing is that 90% of what radios will do for you is by listening, because you will hear stuff that's going on in neighborhoods and communities and in people's lives that's not been filtered through the national news networks. You're going to hear reality news, people saying, I saw this, this happened to me, this is what I experienced, this is what I'm doing. You're going to hear that just by listening. Now, I'm not going to argue the morals of a license. I'm just saying you don't need a license to listen. You can turn it on and listen all day long, and you know nothing's going to happen.
That's not what I said.
Okay, I will tell you this, if you do turn it on and start transmitting, you will get visited. Now if you make that moral choice to do that, then that's your moral choice. You will be visited, and eventually somebody's going to come and, require a lot of money out of you, and if you keep doing that, they're going to require a lot of money out of you and put you in a cage. That's
well,
just
now,
the way
sir,
the system
after
works.
Shit hits the fan, excuse my language, but
yeah. Well, and they agree. But again, if you wait to that point, and where nobody's going to jump on you if you transmit without a license, the learning curve to use the equipment effectively, and I hope I'm conveying this point effectively, is that learning curve is going to be very difficult, and you're going to have waves of die-offs when this happens.
I'm not going to get on it to chit-chat.
Well, Charlie, what you got to realize is you can get all this put together and you can learn how to do it and then throw the license away. I mean, you don't even have to go to a club. Like I said, I know old people that will teach you right now. But
Absolutely.
That's right. We're talking about...
You don't have to have a license to go to a club. You can sit in on a club meeting and talk to people all day long without a license.
Yep, exactly. Hey, guys, listen, we're up the top of the hour. We're up the top of the hour. Hey, you know what, Robert? You got a lot more to cover, so maybe we'll come back next Monday and do this again until we cover a few subjects, because that was really good information.
Okay, excellent. So that went quick.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
We didn't even take a bottom of the hour break.
Are we going to still be here when you come back? Or?
No, we didn't take a bottom of the hour break. We're at sign-off now.
Well, anybody wants to contact me, they can contact me, and I'd love to talk to them about this. So, feel free to call me. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Robert. We appreciate it, and we'll have you back up again. Maybe we'll see if we can get some Skype going where it'd be a clearer broadcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyways, guys, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, everybody be grouchy like Charlie. And that is The Word from the Trenches.